My name is Lydia Tischler. I am 88 years old. From September 42 until May 45, I was in various concentration camps. Auschwitz was hell. Auschwitz really was hell. We were on the last but one transport to Auschwitz, the last transport where all the prominents in Terezin who went straight into the gas chamber. There were about 50 of us in a cattle truck with a bucket. That was it. We arrived in the middle of the night, and in Auschwitz you could smell the fear. You really could smell it. And we had to go through selection. We didn't know it was selection, but that's what it was. Mengele, whom you may have heard, was standing there, and he looked at you and then sent you to the left or to the right. The left was the side for living, and the right was the side for gas. I knew that our mother, because she didn't come to the left, she went to the right. But after the war, I had a sort of hope that maybe she was in some displaced persons camp, you know, that she wasn't dead, that somehow by a miracle she escaped. We were herded into a huge hall and told to undress. And then somebody came and shaved all our hair. And then we were herded into another room where we were sat on benches, like in a theater, stacked. And by then, people who had been there for some time told us, you know, you'll go to the gas chambers. And so we sat there, and I must say, I sat there and didn't know whether it would be water or gas. It was water. I remember when I came to Auschwitz in this room where they took everything away from us, there was a wooden board with the nationalities of all the nationalities that were in camp. And I think on top were, I don't think there were any English people, French. And the bottom two were the Gypsies and the Jews. And I have to remember this. For some reason it seemed to me important where they are putting us. Day to day, life somehow, one just took every day as it came. I worked in the market gardens. We were able to smuggle sometimes some of the fruit. For instance, cucumbers, if they were nicely bent, you could stick it into your bra and bring it into the camp. And luckily, you know, nobody was taking our clothes off to see what we had hidden. Potatoes you could put in your stockings. Tomatoes were not safe because they could squash, and that was it. Paradoxically, I got acquainted with cultural life in Terezin. I heard music. There were, of course, all the well-known actors, musicians, writers, professors were also in camp. So there was a rich cultural and intellectual life as far as it was possible. I heard Verdi's Requiem for the first time in my life in Terezin. I would not have heard it if I'd been at home at the age of 12 in Ostrava. Life for people like me wasn't the worst. It was much worse for older people who felt the hunger and felt, they had already had a life that they were deprived of. Usually when people have to deny something, it's because they have to deny something because he's a nasty man and he doesn't want to feel nasty, so he has to deny that anybody, you know, he perhaps would have liked to do it himself. This is how I understand when people have to deny the horrors. In fact, When I came to England and I managed to find a school, and I went to it was Bronsbury and Kilburn High School for girls. And when the girls heard where I came from and they asked me questions, I thought, how can they ask me these questions? They've seen the films. But then when I studied psychology, I understood that when things are so outside human experience, you really can't believe it. I discovered later on when I studied psychology and psychoanalysis how useful defenses are. You know, that you could believe it and not believe it. You kind of told yourself, no, they made a mistake. It's not, can't be true. So people just went to Auschwitz and very few survived. I think one person escaped from Auschwitz, a Czech man who escaped, and nobody believed in what he told them. The best way to remember it would be if people could learn from this experience so that it's not repeated. And in fact, it's something that I've never felt that I needed to revenge myself. I also haven't felt a victim. They didn't succeed in making me a victim. I'm a survivor, which is something very different. We thought of them as inhuman. But I think they never made me feel that I'm less than human. I could, you know, I had to put up with what they did to me. You know, when they told me to undress, if I had said I'm not undressing, then they'd have shot me, or don't know what they would have done. And although the Germans were able to take away all my physical, almost everything, except my life, they left me alive, but, you know, whatever could be removed from my body, they removed from my body. They couldn't remove my soul. They couldn't remove my integrity, my inner self, that I managed to maintain. All of us have, you know, all of us have the capacity to be sadistic and horrible to other people. We manage to find, we manage to not do it. You know, but the potential for destructiveness is in all of us. I actually believe that people are born, well, they're born neither good nor bad, and that the badness is something that is the way that one is treated as a child. That, you know, if you're treated well as a child, you can't become a Hitler.